Welcome back, everybody. We're diving into something today that I know a lot of you are thinking about already, even though it's the start of a new year.
Yeah, it's never too early to start thinking about it.
And that is summer break.
Yeah.
But we're focusing on a specific group of kids today, and that is our gifted kids and how to keep their bright little minds engaged and learning all summer long.
Absolutely.
So to help us unpack this, we've got excerpts from an article titled, Ways to Keep Your Gifted Child from Becoming Bored This Summer.
That's a good one.
And it's got some really refreshing takes on this.
It does.
So we're here to help you navigate this, whether you're a pro at this or maybe you're just starting out and figuring out what gifted even means when it comes to planning for the summer.
Yeah, you know, what really struck me about this article was how it really emphasizes kind of moving away from that school mindset.
Right.
You know, not about cramming in more academics, but really looking at summer as a way to nurture their, you know, unique talents and interests, and using the freedom of summer as a launch pad.
It's like a different kind of learning.
Exactly.
Yeah, that's a really good point. And, you know, the first thing that the article dives into is this idea of passion-based engagement. Now, it sounds obvious, right? Matching activities to your kids' passions. But I think we've all been guilty of maybe sometimes pushing our kids towards stuff that we think is important.
Oh, absolutely. It happens all the time. And I think that's why this article is such a good reminder that intrinsic motivation is so important.
Right.
Especially for gifted learners.
Yeah.
You know, when a child is really genuinely excited about something, they just dive in deeper, they get more creative, they remember things better.
Oh, yeah.
It's like the difference between forcing a kid to read a book versus, you know, them devouring a book on a topic they love.
Huge difference.
And the article highlights some examples like science camps, writing clubs, even trips to the art store.
Okay, even I get excited about a good art store run.
Oh, me too.
But what you're saying is it's not just about keeping them busy. It's about giving them that outlet for that laser focus that I think a lot of gifted kids have. Mm. You know that thing that lets them build a Lego masterpiece in a day or become the world's leading expert on black holes at age 10?
Precisely. Like channeling all that energy into something that really, truly captivates them.
Yeah.
And here's where it gets really interesting. The article actually suggests flipping the script a little bit.
Good.
And encouraging your child to teach you something they're good at.
Hold on. So instead of me trying to learn how to code or play the violin, my kid is teaching me.
Exactly.
Okay. I like where this is going.
Right. Imagine the benefits from their perspective.
Yeah.
It boosts their confidence.
Yeah.
It encourages them to really think about how they learn and how to explain things to others.
Right.
Which in turn deepens their understanding of the skill itself.
It's like they become the expert.
Yes.
And suddenly learning becomes this fun shared experience.
Exactly. And the article uses the example of a kid teaching their parent how to play an instrument or skateboard.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm sold. What else did this article blow your mind with?
Well, the next idea is all about cultural exploration. And when they say cultural exploration, they don't mean, you know, stuffy museums or operas.
Gotcha.
It's really about exposing your child to a wider range of experiences. Mm. Things that help build connections, broaden their perspectives, and really develop a deeper understanding of the world around them.
Okay.
So think, you know, science expos, children's theater, even trying new foods.
Those are good ones.
Right.
And the best part is this exploration doesn't have to be expensive.
No.
The article reminds us that libraries and museums often have free or low-cost programs, especially during the summer.
They do.
Okay, libraries are definitely my jam. Free and full of endless possibilities. What's not to love?
Agreed. Libraries are incredible resources.
Yeah.
And speaking of resources, the article also talks about summer camps.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I think we tend to think of summer camps as, you know, purely recreational.
Right. Just for fun.
They can be so much more than that, especially for gifted kids.
I think people forget that sometimes.
Yeah. The article even points out that camps can help fill learning gaps, especially when it comes to things like social and communication skills.
Yeah, that's a really good point because we often focus on the academic side of giftedness, but social and emotional skills are just as important.
Absolutely.
And guess what? There are programs out there specifically designed for gifted kids.
There are.
So it's not just about, you know, keeping them busy. It's about really finding a learning experience that's tailored to their needs.
Exactly.
Now, this next part of the article kind of surprised me. They talk about the power of downtime.
Yeah.
And I think this is where the article gets really interesting because it emphasizes the importance of relaxation and renewal.
Yes.
And they even cite an expert who explains how creativity needs space to breathe.
It does.
And I think that's really powerful.
Mm-hmm.
So allowing for unstructured play meditation, listening to music, all of these can actually be surprisingly productive.
Absolutely.
So you're saying sometimes doing nothing can actually help kids learn and grow.
Absolutely.
I'm definitely going to use that argument next time my kid resists doing chores. But seriously, I love that it emphasizes that even gifted kids need a break. They need time to just be.
They do. We all do.
Right. And it all ties back to this whole idea of preventing boredom, because sometimes boredom is the mind's way of saying, hey, I need to recharge.
Exactly.
I think that's a really good point. So we've talked about passion-based learning, cultural exploration, the power of downtime. There's so much to unpack here.
There is a lot.
And I think it's time we connect all of this back to our listeners.
Okay.
You know, what does this mean for them? How can they actually use this information to make summer a success for their gifted kids?
That's a great question. And I think the article kind of ends with this great quote from an expert. And they basically say, different children have different needs. Work with your child and your family to find what works best.
That's a good quote.
Right. It's not about finding this perfect formula.
Right.
It's about understanding what works for your child and your family.
It's like a personalized learning plan for summer. It's interesting. You know, it's got me thinking, what are some of the biggest misconceptions about gifted children, especially when it comes to summer learning?
Oh, that's a great question.
Mm-hmm.
I would say one of the biggest misconceptions is that gifted children don't need help.
Because they're gifted.
Exactly.
So everything just comes naturally easy.
Yeah, that they'll just figure it out on their own.
Right.
But that's simply not true. Gifted children are still children. They still need guidance and support and encouragement.
Remember, giftedness isn't a one-size-fits-all label.
Absolutely.
Right. Some kids might excel in math but struggle with reading comprehension.
Right.
Others might be intellectually gifted but have trouble navigating social situations.
Exactly.
So it's about recognizing that giftedness isn't a superpower that makes them immune to the struggles of childhood.
Right.
It's about seeing the whole child, their strengths and their challenges, and providing support where it's needed.
Exactly.
And this leads to another common misconception. You know, we often assume that summer learning for gifted children has to be all about academics.
Yes.
Like cramming in more advanced math or extra reading.
Like a mini boot camp to get ahead for the next school year.
Right.
But we need to remember that summer is also a time for exploration and creativity and developing passions that may not have room to flourish during the school year.
Yeah.
You know, it's about creating a space for them to just be kids, to play, explore, get messy, daydream.
It's about giving their minds a break from that structured academic environment and allowing them to just roam free a bit.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Think about the article we were talking about. It was highlighting activities like meditation music, unstructured play. These are all things that allow the mind to wander, to make connections, to spark creativity.
Right.
And sometimes those sparks of creativity lead to the most amazing things.
That's a good point.
Who knows? Maybe the next big scientific discovery or work of art will be born from a summer of unstructured play.
That's a really beautiful way to put it. It reminds me that learning doesn't just happen in the classroom. It happens everywhere all the time, especially when we give children the freedom to explore and discover at their own pace.
Absolutely.
But I have to admit, even with all these great insights, there's still a part of me that feels a little overwhelmed. It's like, okay, passion-based learning, downtime exploration. How do I put all of this into practice? Where do I even start?
I think that's a really common feeling. You know, it's easy to get caught up in the what and feel lost when it comes to the how.
The how is always the tricky part.
Exactly. And that's exactly what we're going to tackle in the next part of our deep dive.
Oh.
We're going to shift gears and focus on specific strategies and resources that you can use to create an enriching and engaging summer for your gifted child.
Okay, I am officially hooked. Listeners, don't go anywhere. We'll be back after a quick break to dive into the nitty-gritty of putting all this into action. All right, we are back and ready to get practical.
Let's do it.
Let's talk about how to actually implement all these amazing ideas that we've been discussing. Where do we even start when it comes to creating that enriching summer experience for our gifted kiddos?
You know, I think the key here is to remember that we're not just trying to fill their time.
Right.
It's really about creating an environment where our children can truly thrive.
Okay.
And that means choosing activities intentionally.
Yeah.
Not just, you know, randomly signing them up for every camp or program that we can find.
So intentionality is key. I'm with you there. But what does that actually look like day to day? How do we make sure that we're making the right choices?
It starts with paying close attention to your child.
Okay.
What are they already drawn to? What gets them excited? You know, those natural inclinations are like a roadmap to what will keep them engaged in learning.
So if my kid is obsessed with dinosaurs, maybe a trip to the Natural History Museum is a better bet than a week-long coding camp.
Exactly.
Even if I secretly wish they'd become the next tech whiz.
Exactly. Letting their passions guide your choices is so important. And don't be afraid to think outside the box. Mm-hmm. Summer is a great time to try new things. Mm-hmm. Explore different interests.
Mm-hmm.
You know, maybe your dinosaur enthusiast also has a hidden passion for photography.
Oh, yeah.
Why not combine those interests?
Right.
Encourage them to, you know, create a photo documentary about dinosaurs, their own little summer passion project.
Ooh, I love that. It's like we're helping them become little researchers, filmmakers, artists, all while they're having fun and learning.
Exactly.
What are some other ways that we can encourage this kind of self-directed learning?
One strategy that I think can be incredibly effective is something called project-based learning.
Okay.
Think of it as setting up like a mini research lab right in your own home.
Okay, I'm intrigued. Tell me more about this research lab idea.
So you start by presenting your child with a challenge or a problem to solve something that genuinely interests them. Maybe it's figuring out how to build the sturdiest birdhouse or creating a website about their favorite historical figure.
Oh, that's cool.
Right. And then you step back and let them become the lead investigator.
Oh, wow.
You provide resources, you answer questions, you offer guidance, but they are the ones driving the project.
I see. So instead of saying, here's a book about birds, go read it, we're saying, hey, it would be really cool to have a birdhouse in our backyard. What do you think?
Exactly.
It's about sparking that curiosity and letting them take the reins.
You got it. It engages their problem-solving skills.
Yeah.
It encourages them to take ownership of the learning process.
Yeah.
And let's be honest, it's a lot more fun than worksheets and drills.
Way more fun.
Right.
So we've got passion-based learning, project-based learning. Any other strategies we should have in our summer toolkit?
This might sound a little counterintuitive, but I'm also a big advocate for incorporating some structure into the summer schedule.
Structure. Okay, I'm listening. But how do we balance that with the need for free time and exploration?
Right. It's not about micromanaging every hour of their day.
Right.
Think of it as creating a gentle rhythm. Maybe there's a designated time for reading, a time for creative projects, a time for outdoor play. You know, having this loose framework actually kind of enhances their freedom.
Interesting.
When children have a predictable routine, they feel more secure. And that security allows them to be more creative and adventurous within those boundaries.
It's like giving their imagination a playground with some clearly defined boundaries.
Exactly.
Okay, that makes sense. And I bet it helps parents stay sane too, knowing there's some order amidst the summer chaos.
It does.
Speaking of resources, the article mentioned libraries and museums.
Mm-hmm.
Are there any other hidden gems that you recommend for keeping those gifted minds engaged?
Absolutely. One resource that I always suggest to parents is checking out their local university or community college.
Oh.
You'd be surprised how many of these institutions offer summer enrichment programs specifically designed for gifted learners.
So we're talking college-level courses for kids.
Not necessarily college-level, but definitely more in-depth than your average summer camp. It could be anything from a week-long creative writing workshop to a month-long program on robotics. It really runs the gamut.
Wow, I never even thought of that. It's like giving them a little taste of higher education,
yeah.
Exposing them to new ideas and mentors. What a fantastic opportunity.
It really is. And remember, the goal here is not to turn summer into an extension of the school year.
Right.
It's about embracing the freedom that summer offers and using that freedom to nurture those unique gifts and talents that make your child shine.
Oh, I love that. Okay, so we've covered a lot of ground today. Passion-based learning, project-based learning, structured flexibility, tapping into those amazing local resources. I feel like I have a whole new perspective on summer break.
That's wonderful to hear.
Yeah.
And I hope our listeners feel the same. Remember, approach this with the spirit of playfulness and curiosity. You know, summer should be a time for exploration, discovery, for making memories that will last a lifetime.
Yeah.
So embrace the chaos. Have fun, and don't be afraid to get a little messy along the way.
That's the perfect note to end on. To our listeners, we hope this deep dive has given you some fresh ideas and inspiration to make this summer the most engaging and enriching one yet for your gifted child. Remember, their boredom is often a sign that they're ready for a new challenge, a deeper dive into their passions. Embrace their curiosity, and you'll unlock a world of possibilities this summer and beyond.
Beautiful.
Thanks for joining us on the deep dive. All right, we're back, and I'm ready to get practical. Let's talk about how to actually put all these amazing ideas into practice.
Yes, let's.
Where do we even start when it comes to creating that enriching summer experience for our gifted kids?
Well, I think, you know, it's really important to remember that we're not just trying to fill their time.
Right.
It's about building an environment where our children can truly thrive.
Uh-huh.
And that means choosing activities intentionally.
Mm-hmm.
You know, not just randomly signing them up for every camp or program we can find.
Okay, so intentionality is key. I'm with you there. But what does that actually look like on a day-to-day basis? How do we make sure that we're making the right choices for our kids?
Well, it all starts with paying attention to your child.
Okay.
What are they already drawn to? What gets them excited? You know, those natural inclinations are like a roadmap to what will keep them engaged in learning.
So if my kid is obsessed with dinosaurs, maybe a trip to the Natural History Museum is a better bet than, you know, a week-long coding camp.
Exactly.
Even if I secretly wish they would become the next tech whiz.
Exactly. Letting their passions guide your choices is so important.
Okay.
And don't be afraid to think outside the box. You know, summer's a great time to try new things, explore different interests. Maybe your dinosaur enthusiast also has a hidden passion for photography.
Oh, yeah.
Why not combine those interests?
Right.
Encourage them to, you know, create a photo documentary about dinosaurs.
Right.
Their own little summer passion project.
Ooh, I love that. It's like we're helping them become little researchers, filmmakers, artists, all while they're having fun and learning.
Exactly.
What are some other ways that we can encourage this kind of self-directed learning?
One strategy that can be incredibly effective is something called project-based learning.
Okay.
Think of it as setting up a mini research lab right in your own home.
Okay, I'm intrigued. Tell me more about this research lab idea.
So you start by presenting your child with a challenge or a problem to solve something that genuinely interests them. Maybe it's figuring out how to build the sturdiest birdhouse or creating a website about their favorite historical figure.
Oh, that's a good one.
Right. And then you step back and let them become the lead investigator.
Wow.
You provide resources, answer questions, offer guidance, but they're the ones driving the project.
So instead of saying, here's a book about birds, go read it, we're saying, hey, it'd be really cool to have a birdhouse in our backyard. What do you think?
Exactly.
It's about sparking that curiosity and letting them take the reins.
You got it. It engages their problem-solving skills, encourages them to take ownership of the learning process.
Yeah.
And let's be honest, it's a lot more fun than worksheets and drills.
Way more fun.
Right.
So we've got passion-based learning, project-based learning. Any other strategies we should have in our summer toolkit?
This might sound a little counterintuitive, but I'm also a big advocate for incorporating some structure into the summer schedule.
Structure. Okay, I'm listening.
Mm.
But how do we balance that with the need for free time and exploration that we've been talking about?
Right. It's not about, you know, micromanaging every hour of their day.
Right.
Think of it more as creating a gentle rhythm.
Okay.
Maybe there's a designated time for reading, a time for creative projects, a time for outdoor play. Having this loose framework can actually enhance their freedom.
Interesting.
When children have a predictable routine, they feel more secure. And that security allows them to be more creative and adventurous within those boundaries.
It's like giving their imagination a playground with some clearly defined boundaries.
Exactly.
That makes sense. And I bet it helps parents stay sane too, knowing there's at least some order amidst the summer chaos. Speaking of resources, the article mentioned libraries, museums. Are there any other hidden gems out there that you recommend for keeping those gifted minds engaged?
Absolutely. One resource I always suggest to parents is to check out their local university or community college.
Oh.
You'd be surprised how many of these institutions offer summer enrichment programs specifically designed for gifted learners.
So we're talking college-level courses for kids.
Not necessarily college level, but definitely more in depth than your average summer camp.
Gotcha.
It could be anything from, you know, a week-long creative writing workshop to a month-long program on robotics. It really runs the gamut.
Wow, I never even thought of that. It's like giving them a little taste of higher education, exposing them to new ideas and mentors.
Exactly.
What a fantastic opportunity.
It is. And, you know, remember, the goal here is not to turn summer into an extension of the school year.
Right.
It's about embracing the freedom that summer offers and using that freedom to nurture those unique gifts and talents that make your child shine.
I love that. Okay, so we've covered a lot of ground today, from, you know, passion-based learning, project-based learning, structured flexibility, tapping into those amazing local resources. I feel like I have a whole new perspective on summer break.
That's wonderful to hear, and I hope our listeners feel the same.
I do.
You know, approach this with a spirit of playfulness and curiosity. Summer should be a time for exploration, discovery, for making memories that will last a lifetime.
I agree.
So embrace the chaos.
Yeah.
Have fun, and don't be afraid to get a little messy along the way.
That's the perfect note to end on. To our listeners, we hope this deep dive has given you some fresh ideas and inspiration to make this summer the most engaging and enriching one yet for your gifted child. Remember, their boredom is often a sign that they're ready for a new challenge, a deeper dive into their passions. Embrace their curiosity, and you'll unlock a world of possibilities this summer and beyond. Thanks for joining us on the Deep Dive.